This is Jules Schiller on ABC Radio Adelaide.
Yes, a parliamentary committee heard today that wage theft is costing 170,000 South Australians about $570 million a year. The report was compiled by the McKell Institute, and Edward Cavanagh joins me now. Hi, Edward.
Hi, Jules. How are you doing?
How many workers in SAR being underpaid, do you think?
Look, our estimate puts it as high as 170,000. So that's about one in five South Australian workers, and it's an incredibly alarming figure. We should specify that this isn't, 170,000 people experiencing the type of wage theft we saw, for example, under the 7-Eleven case, which we saw people losing, half their income. There's varying degrees of wage theft. It ranges from, smaller rates of underpayment if you're getting cash in hand or if you're not getting paid overtime. And when we look at all the data that the Fair Work Ombudsman has put out over the last decade, and we apply that across the entire economy, we can estimate that up to 170,000 SA workers are being impacted.
And when you say wage theft, is it taking money out of just not paying people what you agreed to pay them out of their general wage, or is it skimping on super?
Look, it's both. So both are forms of wage theft. I mean, not paying super is effectively stealing someone's future wages. And it has arguably a more detrimental impact in the long term because of the compounding nature of superannuation. So we're talking about both, just regular wage not getting paid properly and also super.
And are these small amounts and that's why people aren't picking it up?
I think it certainly can be that. Like I was saying, one of the most common forms would be cash in hand payments, maybe a dollar or two under the award. A lot of people don't know the correct award rate that they're actually entitled to. So certainly that's pretty common. But no, there's absolutely bigger cases as well. And even when people are getting paid, obviously under the award rate, there's often such a power imbalance between employees and employers that it's just really hard for them to, first of all, go to their boss and actually ask them to pay up and also go and report this to authorities and actually get something done about it.
If you suspect that you are being underpaid or a victim of wage theft, who's meant to police this, Edward?
So this is one of the really sort of dire situations about this whole issue. The Fair Work Ombudsman, which is a federal agency, is responsible for this. And they, they good on them, they do as good a job as they can with the resources they have. But we've noticed that, and looked at in previous research, found out that there's only about 200 auditors of the Fair Work Ombudsman operating nationally. There's over 12 million workers in Australia. So it's an impossible task for them to enforce this. And even when you do raise it directly with them, their resources, the penalties that they can apply are so small and so limited that sometimes just nothing comes of it. So if you're an employee getting underpaid, I worry that they just don't feel like they can take the risk. And that's causing this to really run rampant all across the country.
Well, often you see when these cases come to light, and there's been a few in the restaurant industry, that they've been underpaying and then they just simply pay them what they should have, in the first instance. So there doesn't seem to be a criminal penalty or anything. So that kind of says to an employer, well, I'll give it a go. If I'm caught, then I'll just, I'll just have to pay them. Surely, do you think it should be a criminal issue?
We absolutely think it should be a criminal issue. And it's just illogical that a very good example is this week, there was a Subway franchise over in, I think, Sydney, that was found to underpay one of its workers $16,000 over the last couple of years. They were asked to pay the money back, and they got a $60,000 fine. And that was the end of it. If you change the circumstances and you had that employee taking $16,000 out of the till, that is a blatant criminal offence, and so it should be. So there's a clear imbalance there. It's illogical that, if an employee steals money, it's a crime, and if the employer does it, it's not. So look, I think criminalising it would be a big deterrent. I noticed today even Kate Carnell, who's the small business ombudsman nationally, she came out and absolutely supported this as well. So I think the consensus is growing that it should be criminalised. I think the government, even today, the federal government, looked into this finally, actually making this a criminal offence. So I think the conversation is moving forward towards the fact that we do have to criminalise it.
Definitely. People are texting in about this. Someone says, my employer refuses to give me a pay slip, making it hard to know what you have been paid. Very dodgy. Is that something, there might be people in certain industries who don't get pay slips. Is that a compulsory thing? Because I guess that's a safeguard, isn't it?
It is. That is compulsory. And if that Texter did, tell the Fair Work Ombudsman about this. There is some chance the Fair Work Ombudsman could go and inspect that employer and issue them with a fine. But this is one of the common ways it's done. I mean, if you don't know what you're getting paid each week specifically, or, it's hard to compare your non-existent payslip to what you calculate you're entitled to. So, yeah, this is a big issue. And one of the most common forms of non-compliance of employers is when they're not issuing payslips properly.
Steve has called through on 1300 222 891. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you, Jules. I've been through this. A gentleman owed me a lot of money for being manager. Fair Work are good with the resources I've got, but you ring them up and they come out to the workplace and then they get a mediation process. Now, the person who's employing you can say, no, I don't want to talk, go away, or sure, sit down, let's do this. If they say no, you then write your stuff down, lodge a complaint, you go to them in front of a judge person. You tell your story without a lawyer, the other person tells their story without a lawyer, and then the person makes a educated judgment.
Okay. Were you able to keep your job while this process was occurring, Steve?
Not really. Some of the staff said, we're all going to walk if you fire him. So I stayed for 2 more weeks, and then the business
went under. You got your money eventually, Steve?
Still working on that, like probably a lot of young kids. You sort of have to have that confidence to
bring the... Without naming the employer, what industry are you in, Steve?
Hospitality.
Well, I'm going to take that back to Edward Kavanagh. He's from the McKell Institute. We're talking about wage theft. Are there industries that are more guilty of this than others, Edward?
Look, there are, and hospitality is, one of the most common ones that this is happening in. Wage theft is often considered, purely though, an issue in hospitality and agriculture. It's really common in agriculture, particularly with migrant workers. But the data shows it's happening just all across the economy and in industries you wouldn't expect. I mean, it still counts as wage theft when, a doctor works 12 hours overtime and doesn't get paid the right amount for that, or a teacher does the same. It's not just happening in these really high-risk areas. It is actually becoming a bit of a business model and a bit of an expectation across the entire economy, and that's a massive problem that we need to talk about a bit more, I think.
Yes, I definitely do, Edward, looking at some texts and calls coming through. Jane says her daughter was paid $18 an hour to work as a kitchen hand. She worked 80 hours a week and got paid for 38. She is too intimidated to speak out about it. Her mum doesn't want to speak for her on this program for fear of getting recognised. So this is a problem, isn't it, Edward? People know they're getting ripped off, but they need the money that they're getting, and so they're afraid to speak out. So we really need to get on top of this issue, don't we?
This is the thing. The impetus is put on employees to be whistleblowers. And that's just not sustainable for an economy and a labour market the size of Australia's. I mean, we can't expect, there's so many problems in the labour market at the moment. Insecure work, people are worried about their jobs and low wage growth and everything. And it's, obviously not a good idea at times for a worker to threaten their own employment by raising an issue with their boss.
But shouldn't unions be doing more though, Edward? That's their job, isn't it?
Yeah, look, I do think unions do as much as they can with the powers that they have. One of the issues, and we've looked at this, the Fair Work Ombudsman has had its resources reduced by about half over the last 6 or 7 years, and much of that money, about $100 million of it, has gone into creating a thing called the Registered Organisations Commission. The ROC is responsible basically purely for tying the hands of unions and, restricting some of their powers that they've had over the past, in the past. And this has really limited their capacity to, go into workplaces and do the things that maybe some people would expect them to be doing more of. And that's, I think, a real issue as well.
Edward Kavanagh, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
That's Edward Kavanagh from the McKell Institute. We've been talking about wage theft. It's